Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Dikaloff et al. Titled, Tobacco Smoking Induces Cardiovascular Mitochondrial Oxidative Stress, Promotes Endothelial Dysfunction, and Enhances Hypertension. This article was published January 4th, 2019. Joining me today are Editor-in-Chief Irv Zucker, Lead Author Sergei Dikaloff, and Content Expert Andreas Bayer. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. As everybody knows, in spite of a major campaign to stop tobacco smoking over the past several decades, this practice is still a major public health risk in the United States and in much of the world. Smoking increases the risk of cardiovascular disease, including hypertension, heart failure, and stroke. While all of the mechanisms responsible for cardiovascular disease in response to smoking are not completely worked out, it is known that increased oxidative stress is a major contributor. Thus, our discussion of the present study. Sergei, thank you for this very interesting study. Can you tell our listeners what the rationale for this particular study was and a bit about the methodology and what results you found?
Thank you, Aaron. Yeah, I think that it's very important to understand the sources of oxidative stress. And our primary hypothesis was that tobacco smoking is specifically inducing so-called mitochondrial oxidative stress. And mitochondria composes only about a couple percent of our cellular volumes, but they are responsible for majority of metabolic functions, and they are one of the key in the antioxidant defense. And what we found that even acute tobacco smoking, which we model in animal and human tissue studies, induces oxidation of mitochondrial cardiolipin, which is a specific marker of mitochondrial oxidative stress and mitochondrial dysfunction. And furthermore, we tested the pathophysiological implications of that in animals which overexpresses or mitochondrial targeted catalase to scavenge mitochondrial reactive oxygen species. And we found that these mice were protected from tobacco smoking-induced mitochondrial oxidative stress, and they were protected from endothelial dysfunction and hypertension.
Thank you, Sergei. That's a great overview. Andreas, would you care to comment on the importance of these findings and what this contribution might mean to the development of other therapies for cardiovascular disease?
So the present paper from Sergei looking at the underlying mechanism how smoking cessation contributes to development of endothelial function and showing how mitochondria and mitochondrial stress via production of free radicals contribute to further lasting events that result in elevated systemic blood pressure that we all know is a critical risk factor for developing of future cardiovascular events.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of very interesting findings here. Sergei, let me ask you about the catalase experiments, since those were quite dramatic in terms of reversing many of the effects of smoke extract. Do you think that there are regulatory pathways in terms of not only catalase, but other antioxidant enzymes that are impacted by extract of cigarette smoke or cigarette smoking itself? I'm referring now to maybe transcriptional pathways or degradation pathways that relate to antioxidant enzyme function.
Yes, indeed. Most likely, tobacco smoking interferes with cell signaling pathways, which may include the NRF2 antioxidant pathways and exacerbate some other vascular pathways such as endothelin 1 and norepinephrine pathways. And what is known that a lot of cigarette smoking mediated effects on the vasculature, including increased inflammation, increased vasoconstriction, is mediated by moderate increase in the production of reactive oxygen species. And this triggers or alters redox signaling in the vascular cells, promoting the vasoconstriction and inflammation in the vascular cells. And what our data indicates that specific scavenging of mitochondrial catalase can prevent alterations of vascular functions.
Great. Andreas, any questions or comments?
So, Sergey, your paper clearly shows the contribution of oxidative stress to the development of endothelial function. But as we all know, oxidative stress is only one side of the coin. And work by others, including Jennifer Pollock's lab, has shown that acetylation of enos contributes to the loss of decreased NO-mediated vasodilation. Do you have any comment on how tobacco smoke could contribute to the decreased nitric oxide levels, which will then further enhance mitochondrial ROS production?
Yes, I'm glad that you point out these other studies. I think that overall we get in picture where, as we see, tobacco smoking results in metabolic dysregulation or metabolic reprogramming, as my cancer experts would say. And this metabolic reprogramming actually increases acetylation. As you mentioned, it may actually dysregulate acetylations of a lot of proteins, including nitric oxide synthase. So it is clear that tobacco smoking both induces metabolic alterations and increases reactive oxygen species. And these multiple pathways contribute to what we have in the results, such as epigenetic reprogramming, metabolic reprogramming, as well as oxidative stress. And we have to keep in mind all of this together, because just smoking cessations does not completely rescue these accumulated defects over a particular smoking history.
Those are well pointed out issues. Your paper also focused on SIRT3, and you showed a decrease in SIRT3 in response to ANG2. You want to comment a little bit about the role of SIRT3 specifically in mediating some of these abnormalities in vascular function?
Yes. So in our paper, we have seen about 40% reduction of sirtuin-3 level. Sirtuin-3 is a key deacetylase in mitochondria, and it's associated with longevity. So, for example, in human subject at the age of 65 and older who does not exercise regularly, level of SIRT3 is reduced by about 40%. So in our animal experiments, we have seen that short-term, just for 2 weeks, smoking reduces SIRT3 to the level of age and non-exercise subjects by 40%. So we think that it greatly accelerates vascular aging and overall aging mechanisms contributing to cardiovascular dysfunction.
Great. I probably have to take my SIRT3 pills after we get off this call. But thanks for those comments. Andreas, any further comments?
Sergey, as you know, there's many, many studies trying to link oxidative stress, including mitochondrial oxidative stress, to curing cardiovascular disease in general. And most of those have failed in human subjects, while in animals, most of those have shown very much promise. How do you think your data translates into the human realm, and why do you think a lot of these trials have failed, including some that has looked at the effect of tobacco smokes and how free radical scavenging would prevent the long-term effects of that?
Yes, I think that, as you earlier pointed out, that tobacco smoking is not just related to free radicals and oxidative stress. Its effects are far beyond this single phenomenon, and it includes metabolic dysregulation and some of this oxidative stress. And so ideally, we need to target multiple pathways. And interestingly, the SIRT3 is actually involved both in metabolic regulations and the antioxidant regulation. So we think that SIRT3 can be one of the future interesting target for development of mitochondria-targeted treatments in these conditions. Also, I would like to point out that there are some interesting data that early clinical trials show that metformin is beneficial in treatment of smoking-related mitochondrial disease function. So we think that it would make sense to further test and develop new mitochondria-targeted treatments to improve metabolic and antioxidant functions.
Well, this has been great. I have one final question, Sergey. Maybe you can comment. I know this is difficult, but what compounds in cigarette smoke or in the extract that you use are actually responsible for the increase in ROS, do you think?
This is a very interesting question. And I think that early studies were focused on the highly reactive intermediates. This may be free radicals, some reactive aldehydes. But recent studies are focused on the very stable components such as nicotine and isopren. These two, for example, they're very stable. They get into circulation. They reach the end target organs such as brain, vasculature, the heart, the kidney, and they cause specific end organ dysfunction by the virtue of metabolic reprogramming and some of the mitochondrial damage. And we think that we have to rethink how tobacco smoking causes this increased cardiovascular events, such that the recent trend not only related to the efforts to reduce tobacco smoking, but also other tobacco-related products like vapors. And some of these modern products even suggested that they are not as harmful, but they may contain similar compounds which are similarly stable, such as nicotine and isopren and some other compounds which can cause similar defects.
So, Sergey, it's very interesting. The blood pressure effects are profoundly affected by cigarette smoking, and so are the molecular changes in the ROS. Does this change on the cessation, or does it revert back to normal following the cessation of smoking?
Yes, sir. There are reports that the positive benefits of smoking cessation can be observed within the hours of smoking cessation. But the problem, they are never completed. So you never go back to the healthy level of blood pressure and vascular function within the hours and days. And in chronic smokers, it has been reported that cardiovascular risk retained for several up to 9 years. Furthermore, actually, due to epigenetic and metabolic changes, these increased risk factors are passed along to second generations. So that's why it's very important to not only promote smoking cessation, but we need further investigate how we can treat subjects with smoking history, because they need special attention.
Well, this has been a really great discussion. I thank you both very much, Andreas and Sergey, for a great overview and for a very nice piece of work. And so now I'm going to turn it back to Kara.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this one, visit us online at physiology.org/journal/AJP Heart.